in perilous times, and there are some things that are happening in our world that if we had done right as God's people, I don't believe they would be happening. The second coming of Christ will still take place when God says so. We would still be living in the end times, but there are some things in America that if the people of God had done what they were supposed to do, we would not be experiencing what we are experiencing and going through what we're going through. That's what I believe. Right here. You need to pull it to yourself in this way. Pull it to yourself more. And more this way. Now pull the edge to yourself as much as possible. This, again, needs to be lifted up a little bit. This again needs to be lifted up a little bit. Just a little bit. It shouldn't change the view at all. No, you gotta lift it up like you did the other day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 57, where I simply read the Holy the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique Bible and this unique viewpoint allows us to read the entire Bible as a single story, a true story, of course, and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we're reading Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, and salvation full and free. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you, Holy Father God, for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Lord God in heaven, I thank you for many and manifold blessings that we could not even begin to count, for they are as the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. And Lord, I just thank you, I praise you for every blessing and every miracle that you have bestowed upon us and blessed us with. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for salvation full and free. Your for family and life, salvation and spiritual blessings, family and life blessings, mental and physical blessings, protection and provision blessings, and financial and material blessings that you have bestowed upon us all down through the years. Some are hurting today in these areas. But Lord, help them to still be thankful for all of the years that you did bless them and things were easier and things were better. And Lord, help us all in light of what's going on to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent. And Holy Father God, to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we individually and hopefully collectively confess our sins unto you, our failures, our faults, and all unrighteousness and all ungodliness. As was pointed out in the powerful service on last night, those who do righteousness are of you. Those who do unrighteousness are of the devil, their father, the devil. That is, these people who practice sin, practice stealing, practice lying, practice rebelliousness and stubbornness and disobedience. They are of their father, the devil. They have never been born again. You have plainly stated that in your holy word. So, Holy Father God, I pray, in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, Tobias, in the hearts and minds and lives of people here and of people out there, in families, in churches, in the government, Lord, and all over. For there's a whole lot of Judas backstabbing going on, not only against you, but others as well. There's a spirit of betrayal and treacherousness and sabotage, especially in the church and in families. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help people to get saved and to rise above such unrighteousness and ungodliness. And, Lord, I pray that you would deliver and cast out the demon spirits of sabotage and treachery and betrayal and hindrance and distraction. Lord, out of the hearts and minds and lives and souls and spirits of the people here and the people out there, all around the world, those who are hearing me live and those who will hear me on demand. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the devil is fighting us. I pray that you would rebuke him and bind him and stop him from hindering us. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would pave the way, open up great doors for us that no man can shut. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would deliver each and every one of us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Holy Father God, grant me and everybody else your grace, your strength, your energy, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word with understanding and with the determination to obey your holy word and to apply it to our lives and to share it with others in a discipleship way and to preach your holy gospel from it. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you will help us to humble ourselves and grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to change on the inside, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and repent and get back to you, our first love. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost here and in this city, in this country, and in this world. We pray for the revival of those who are truly saved in this place, in this city, in this country, and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the healing of those who are sick in this place, in this city, in this country, and around the globe. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would comfort those who are grieving and mourning like never before. And Lord, give them your grace. And we pray that you would draw them to yourself, Lord Jesus, for salvation and comfort. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would deliver us all if we confess our sins to you and repent and get right with you. Deliver us all from our afflictions and distresses, cares, worries, and anxieties, and troubles, and problems that we're facing. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Thank you, Lord, for the earlier prayer meeting. And now, Lord, we're praying with those who did not have the benefit of being in that prayer meeting earlier today. Please hear and answer our prayers and bless us exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we should ask or think. And Holy Father God, I pray. And I thank you for the privilege that it has been to pass out gospel tracts this morning and to get some other key things taken care of that needed to be taken care of yesterday and today. Help us to, even after this service, to move forward on other things. Pave the way for us, open up great doors, and Holy Father God, have us to find favor, mercy, love, and grace in your sight and in the sight of others, and give us an open door to preach your gospel and to spread your gospel. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would bless and protect us all who, all families, all ministries, all churches that stand for you. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil. Protect us, Lord, from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. And Lord, help us all to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and like you, gracious and full of your grace and full of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would place upon us today the whole arm of God, cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. And Lord, help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, "Thus saith the Lord." Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doeth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Which doeth great things, pardon me, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Have it to find a lodging place in our hearts and minds, souls and spirits. Help us to remember it. Help us to love it, cherish it, and obey it. And apply it to our lives, to share it with others in a discipleship way, and to preach and proclaim your holy gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family. This is Daniel White III, the son of Bishop Daniel White Jr., who is now home in heaven. President of Gospel Light Society International with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, number 758. Where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. And this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast, therefore, dear friends, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and through simple prayer to God and by faith in God, and the giving of the sense, the understanding of the Word of God, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived again as in the day of Nehemiah and Ezra, and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and from the eternal burning hell. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he preached first and best when he said the most loving words ever spoken to mankind in the history of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do that today. Do what Jesus Christ has told you to do. If you want to be saved, do what Jesus Christ has said. He made salvation very simple and easy for each and every one of us. In order to be saved, please understand and accept the fact that you are a sinner. You have done wrong in your life. You have broken the Ten Commandments of God, and so have I, and so has the Pope, and so has all presidents, and so has the Dalai Lama, and so has even Joel Osteen, as nice as he is. We all have sinned against God. We all have broken God's commandments. Have you ever lied before? Have you ever stolen anything before? Like some money from your father or your mother to buy something you didn't ask permission for? Have you ever coveted or lusted in your heart after somebody or something? Have you ever dishonored, disobeyed, disrespected your parents in any way, with a bad attitude, mumbling under your breath? Have you ever dishonored God by taking His holy name in vain? I just named five of the commandments of God, and I would venture to say, not even knowing you, that you've broken all five of them at some time in your life, if you are of age. We all have sinned against God, haven't we? And then secondly, you must understand and accept the fact, dear friend, that there's a punishment for our sin. There's a penalty for our sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages, the payment of sin is death. You probably never really knew why you die, why you will die. You think people die because of cancer. You think people die because of the coronavirus plague. You think people die because of some other illness or sickness or a heart attack or a car accident. That's not why people die. People die, and you will die, and I will die because of our sin. Sin is a curse, and we have sinned against God. And so therefore, our wages at the end of our life will be death. The great home run hitter Hank Aaron died today at 86 years old. Doesn't matter what he died of. He died because of sin, like the rest of us. He was a good man, but not a perfect man. And so we all must go to the grave somehow, some kind of grave. Most of us will be buried in the ground. Some people choose to be cremated, but we will die. Our bodies will go to a grave, and our souls will go to hell if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and repent of our sins in this life. It's too late after you die. There's no salvation after death. Jesus never taught that. That is nowhere in the Bible. There is no such thing as a purgatory. That's a fairy tale made up by the Catholic Church in the medieval times to rob their own people of their money. There's no such thing as a purgatory or a limbo or a vestibule where you can just sit and wait. Nobody's going to pay your bail out of hell. Nobody can pray you out of hell. Once you die, you will go to hell and you will spend eternity there. That's the punishment of sin. Now, if you don't believe that, just hold up what Jesus Christ, the hell he went through and the hell he went to for you and me. Bleeding from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet for our sins, and he never committed a sin. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, dying on the cross for your sins and for mine. And position that against eternal hell. Now, either you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and understand and accept the fact that he paid your sin debt to God, he took your place, or you will go to hell. You must go to hell and pay for your sins yourself. That's God would not be God if he did not have an arrangement like that. Now, he still would have been God if we all went to hell, because we all deserve to go to hell because we have broken his commandments. And we don't deserve his love, for God so loved the world. We deserve to go to hell, but Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. These things, if you will, are side by side as far as your choice is concerned. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, or you can go to hell. It's as simple as that. So it's your choice. Many people choose to go to hell by loving darkness, Jesus called it, more than loving light. They love evil more than they love righteousness. And God makes it very plain in the scriptures. We talked about it last night, how that the people who obey God and love righteousness and do righteousness are of God. The people who disobey God and hate and don't want to do righteous things, they love unrighteousness, they are of their father, the devil. So thirdly, dear friend, you must accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. You don't have to commit any more sins. You're on the road to hell. If you were to die right now, and if you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in a soul-saving sense, you're going to go to hell today. You must understand that if you die without Jesus Christ, you will instantaneously lift up your eyes in the flames and the torment of hell. You see, preacher, I know you've never heard that before, because most preachers want to sugarcoat things and tickle your ears and get your money. I'm not interested in your money. I am interested in your soul. God has taken care of me for 41 years by faith. Me and a family of nine by faith. And I've been preaching for 41 years. I'll be preaching tomorrow, whether you give a penny or a dime or a dollar or $10,000. I'm not here for your money. I'm here for your soul. I want you to get saved from hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Imagine yourself being in a dark place where there's nothing but fire and heat and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's why they're screaming and hollering, because of the horrors of hell. For a minute, you'll be hearing that. For an hour, for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, on and on and on and on and on forever. That's your choice. If you want to go through that, and go to that. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Everything horrible will be in hell. The darkness of hell, the fire of hell, the painful, agonizing memory in hell. And then I think the saddest aspect of hell, the most painful aspect of hell, is that you will be there forever once you go there. Jesus Christ said also in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Nearly every time Jesus Christ preached on hell, he mentioned the fire part to make sure you understand what you're facing if you choose to love darkness more than light. If you choose the devil over Jesus, if you choose hell over heaven. So hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. You do not have to go to hell. You have a choice. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior. For Jesus Christ said what I said to you earlier, the most loving, the most wonderful, the most beautiful words ever spoken to mankind in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that is, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice how simple and easy it is to get saved according to Jesus, unlike according to many churches and pastors and preachers today who want to add on a whole bunch of other stuff. You have to be a member of this church. You have to get baptized in this church. You have to serve for a long time before we receive you into the church. You have to speak in some unknown tongue. You have to see a vision and feel a change. And none of that is necessary. Jesus Christ is the one who is the Savior. And he knows how to get saved better than anybody. And notice the word whosoever. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. And then notice the word believeth. Believeth means to trust in, to have faith in. That's all. No church membership. In fact, you don't even have to be in a church to get saved. Thousands, yea, millions of people have gotten saved outside of the church walls. And notice that once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, once you trust in him, once you put your faith in him for your soul's salvation, Jesus changes your destination. You should not perish. That means you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. And that's all you need to do, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. That's just an expression that comes out of your heart. It's just something you will want to do once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. There's nothing hard about it. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Believe that in your heart. Call on the Lord's name and ask him to save you and be your Lord and your Savior, and he will do it. I will help you with the prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. If you want to be saved from the hell that awaits you, so that you can go to the heaven that God wants you to go to. So let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you many times. I deserve to go to hell, and just like a criminal deserves to go to jail, for Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin, including my sin, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for me, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound life in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and be the Christian disciple that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's resume the standing between the living and the dead service, already in progress at the point of the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Today, beloved, we're reading Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, help us to be humble and to understand that without your Holy Spirit, we cannot understand your holy word. So, Lord, help us to understand it, to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Dear friends, that was Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15. Now here is the sense of it. From the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary, edited by Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck. Shouts of joy will arise because Israel's Redeemer, the Messiah King, will be in her midst. The long-promised Savior and Deliverer will protect them. Wrath from God's hand and oppression by her enemy will be gone, and the Lord, the King of Israel, will be with her. And she will have no fear. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for giving us understanding of your holy word. And thank you for your holy word that tells us about the future. Help us to believe it. Help us to love it. Help us to obey it. Help us to rejoice in your holy word. And help us to always proclaim the gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic devotional book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 370. The scripture passage that the Prince of Preachers chose for us today, believe it or not, is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. We must not imagine that we are suffering for Christ and with Christ if we are not in Christ. Beloved friend, are you trusting to Jesus only? If not, whatever you may have to mourn over on earth, you are not suffering with Christ and have no hope of reigning with him in heaven. Neither are we to conclude that all a Christian's sufferings with Christ, all the Christian sufferings are sufferings with Christ, for it is essential that he be called by God to suffer. If we are rash and impudent and run into positions for which neither providence nor grace has fitted us, we ought to question whether we are not rather sinning than communing with Jesus. If we let passion take the place of judgment and self-will reign instead of scriptural authority, we shall fight the Lord's battles with the devil's weapons, and if we cut our own fingers, we must not be surprised. Again, in troubles which come upon us as the result of sin, we must not dream that we are suffering with Christ. When Miriam spoke evil of Moses and the leprosy polluted her, she was not suffering for God. Moreover, suffering which God accepts must have God's glory as its end. if I suffer that I may earn a name or win applause, I shall get no other reward than that of the Pharisee. It is requisite also that love to Jesus and love to his elect be ever the mainspring of all our patience. We must manifest the Spirit of Christ in meekness, gentleness, and forgiveness. Let us search and see if we truly suffer with Jesus. And if we do thus suffer, what is our light affliction compared with reigning with him? Oh, it is so blessed to be in the furnace with Christ, and such an honor to stand in the pillory with him, that if there were no future reward, we might count ourselves happy in present honor. But when the recompense is so eternal, so infinitely more than we had any right to expect, shall we not take up the cross with alacrity and go on our way rejoicing? Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word, and thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts and reminding us of the importance and the reasons as to why we may suffer in this life as your children. Let your will be done in our lives. Help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be the witnesses you want us to be by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not mind, give me 1 minute to refresh myself and to stand up and stretch my legs. I would appreciate it. God bless you. I'm not going anywhere, Lord willing. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for allowing me a little break. Dr. Richard Cecil said, let family worship be short, savory, simple, plain, tender, and heavenly for the glory of God. Join us in praying for families around the world. Holy Father God, we pray for all families that don't know you as Savior, or have family members that don't know you as Savior. We pray for the salvation of these families. Grant them household salvation. Have your Holy Ghost to work mightily in their hearts and lives, and help them to hear the gospel and to understand it and to be saved. And Holy Father God, draw the hardest hearts unto yourself. And Holy Father God, please have mercy and grace upon us who claim to be Christians, and forgive us of our sins of not witnessing for you, not obeying the Great Commandment or the Great Commission, where we have failed in these areas. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would raise up laborers into the whited harvest fields to reap the whited harvest fields with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to confess our sins and help us to repent and help us to do our part. And Lord, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would help those who, those families that name the name of Christ to be the shining lights and witnesses you would have them to be in times like these. For many people just don't know what is going on because their eyes are shut in blindness. Open blinded eyes and stop deaf ears. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. If you will, and if you are so led, ladies and gentlemen, join me in reading, or rather, join me in praying what is called the Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent. According to thy promises, declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friends, join me in reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20 in the King James Version. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Help us to read your holy word and to take heed to it and to obey it as we're reading this in context of chapter 5 in the marriage and family verses through chapter 6. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 through 20. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Pardon me. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 as we are continuing to read verse by verse Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 20. And yes, these verses are part of what I call the family verses. And if you don't get an understanding of these verses and apply them to your life, your marriage and your family is not going to work well. And we're dealing with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Your marriage and your family will never work on a consistent basis if you're not committed to righteousness in your behavior and in your life by the grace of God and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that's the only verse that we're going to read today. So let's go to the prayer time, praying for others. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for all people who name the name of Christ in this country and around the globe. Help us all and grant us all your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit. To humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent, and to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. And Holy Father God, we also pray for everybody in government, including the new president, new vice president, all of the new senators and representatives. We pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings upon these people. We pray, Lord, that you would save their souls and change their lives and help them, Lord, to be the shining lights and witnesses you want them to be. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of those, Lord, who are lost. We pray, Lord, in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the revival of the saved in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the healing of those who are sick. And Lord, we pray for the comfort of those who are grieving and who are mourning. Pardon me. Like never before. And Lord, we pray for them. And we pray that you would draw them to yourself for salvation and for encouragement and for comfort. And Lord, we pray now for all of the people who that you want me to pray for. Lord, we pray for millions, but Lord, we pray for a few by name, and we include all of them in this prayer. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Ohio resident Dick Meek. We pray for the family and friends, Lord, of Georgia teacher, Dana Johnson. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Georgia teacher, Cynthia Lindsay. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Shirley Meek as well, another family that has suffered the multiple deaths of people from the coronavirus plague. We pray for friends, family and friends of Texas coach Travis Gray. We pray for the family and friends of Georgia veteran Abdu'l-Ghaffar Warsom. We pray for the family and friends of Florida principal Tom Russell. We pray for the family and friends of Alabama musician Mark Phillips. We pray for the family and friends of South African government minister Jackson Mthembu. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Massachusetts resident Stephen Coppola. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. Lord, my prayer is that you'll save each one. And now, Lord, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry and those who have rededicated their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to meet all of their the needs that we can feel. And Lord, we pray now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests from around the world. We pray for Nainji. Please empower his church in these tough times. We pray, Lord, for Dilip. Please work things out in his favor. Give him a complete turnaround in his life. Holy Father God, help him to understand, and evidently he does, that there is no new year without a new you. Bless him with health, wealth, well-being, a great career, and healthy relationships. We pray for Kanisha. Please get her out of the bad relationship she's in and break all soul ties she has to it. And Holy Father God, we pray for Arlene. Please bless her with a great place to stay. Bless her with good health and save her soul. We pray for Wuliki. Please bless his family and church with Bibles and Christian books. And Holy Father God, we pray for Daphne. Please heal her son, Jared Russell. We pray for Mahesh. Please help him to get his job back. And Lord, we pray for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and those who have rededicated their lives to you. Meet all of their needs as well. We pray for Urema, Sandra, Arielina, Victoria, Anita, Michael, and Lori. And Lord, we pray for those who have rededicated their lives to you through the ministry as well. We pray, Lord, for each and every one of them. We pray for Nelson, Amparo, Azibu, Maria, Pedro, Mariala, and Zessi. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading today is titled "The Compelling Majesty of His Power" by Oswald Chambers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14 says, "The love of Christ compels us." Paul said that he was overpowered, subdued, if you will, and held as in a vice by the love of Jesus Christ. Very few of us really know what it means to be held in the grip of the love of God. We tend so often to be controlled simply by our own experience. The one thing that gripped and held Paul to the exclusion of everything else was the love of God. When you hear that coming from the life of a man or woman, it is unmistakable. You will know that the Spirit of God is completely unhindered in that person's life. Pardon me. When we are born again by the Spirit of God, our testimony is based solely on what God has done for us, and rightly so. But that will change and be removed forever once you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Only then will you begin to realize what Jesus meant when he went on to say, "You shall be witnesses to me." Not witnesses to what Jesus can do. That is basic and understood. But witnesses to him he himself. We will accept everything that happens as if it were happening to him. Whether we receive praise or blame, persecution or reward, no one is able to take this stand for Jesus Christ who is not totally compelled by the majesty of his power. It is the only thing that matters. And yet it is strange that it's the last thing we as Christian workers realize. Paul said that he was gripped by the love of God, and that is why he acted as he did. He was controlled by the love of God, and that is so true. And that is why he acted as he did. People could perceive him as mad or sane. He did not care. There was only one thing he lived for: to persuade people of the coming judgment of God and of hell, and to tell them of the love of Christ. This total surrender to the love of Christ is the only thing that will bear fruit in your life. And there's no doubt about that. And it will always leave the mark of God's holiness and his power. Never drawing attention to your personal holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for what you have done here today. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you will do. And Holy Father God, we pray that in the end your holy name will be glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, lost souls saved, and Christians repenting of their sins and turning to you and being obedient to your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, I have preached the gospel fully to you today, and what a privilege it is to do so. And however, if you missed, you came in late, that's all right. You can get the podcast or the video. But in the meantime, in case you can't make it to the next service, you can't access the podcast or the video for some reason, you can get saved right now. Believe, the Bible says, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Those of us who are Christians, help us to humble ourselves, pray, and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and get back to Jesus Christ, our first love. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.